You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone pastors the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hope of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Oh boy, that was very conservative. Or maybe it was a little liberal. I'm not really sure. Maybe, was it the Democratic?
I think you drank that liberally.
I did. I am liberal in my Tim Hortons. But I'm very conservative.
Yes, there's nothing conservative about
I'm
coffee.
Very conservative about Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts, but I'm very liberal about Tim Hortons.
So they are not endorsed
by
you.
Endorsed? I don't even, oh, no. What's the opposite of endorsement? Dedorsement?
I guess what happened to the Republicans in the House? That's the opposite of an endorsement.
They got outvoted. Yeah. Wow. That's strange days. Strange days down there. I'll tell you, your federal election is going to be something in 2 years. Unfortunately, the campaigning is going to begin now, and we're going to have to hear it for 2 years. But it's going to be interesting for sure. Who do you think will run against Mr. Trump as a Democratic leader?
Oh man, I would not even have a clue. You know, here's the thing. Young people think that it's going to be somebody hip and mod and young. It's the power brokers don't allow that because people in power want more power.
Yeah, well,
and so I think it's going to be somebody like Bernie, or it's going to be somebody with a lot
of
power.
Well, the problem with the hip hop happening guy coming in is that you're already pastoring a church and working with Awake America, so you can't do it. Man, what a disappointment. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Young, svelte, trim, you know, youthful, exuberant. Yeah.
That's got you written all over it. I was thinking more of a beach ball with a head, but you know, whatever. Whatever works. get that visual, people. Get that visual.
Thank you, Fred Flintstone.
we had a guy in a Olaf suit the other night. We did a family fun night, and we had a guy in a big Olaf suit. And I said, look at that, a big fat white guy. I said, hi, Al Stone. and with that carrot nose, it was pretty, pretty close, my friends.
There you go. Wow.
That's funny. Let's talk about some federal politics. I'm sure the kids are loving this week. The kids are loving it, riding in the car with mom and dad. What are they talking about? But, you know, kids need to hear about these things. And parents, you need to be discussing it with your kids. As they get into those early teenage years, they're going to be voting soon. And they need to understand the process and they need to understand the importance. And that's why we're doing this, too. So let's talk about federal. We just had some mayoral voting going on here. That's kind of neat. But at the federal level, we have a prime minister that, to me, is a disaster. He's a laughingstock to many. And I hope he gets voted out soon. But since they just had the election there, let's talk about what's going to happen now. You've got the Senate Republican. You've got the House that's Democratic. Election in 2 years. How do you think that's going to play out? What's going to need to happen?
Well, for me, what I made a decision about is I need to figure out a way to train and teach our young people about the dangers of socialism. That has so caught on, and it's being taught in all of our schools and universities, and we've got a lot of people that are leaning towards thinking socialism is pretty good. And it is such a political disaster.
Well, let me say this, and because we've had this conversation before, and I've had it with others, and many in America would think that Canada is socialistic, and it is. It's very socialized. We have socialized medicine. We have all kinds of programs. But I've got to tell you this, from my vantage point, America really has already become socialized because you have every program that we have. It's just not as that's the word I want. Maybe vocalized. You have unemployment. You have health insurance for people that can't get their own health insurance. You have all kinds of programs to help people. So it's there. I think it's just gaining more voice.
Yeah, but we're not based on a socialistic system.
No.
Yeah, there are definitely a lot of programs. There's definitely a lot of, helpful programs and, administrative programs that have that socialistic swing to them. But our country is not based on a socialistic system.
Right. And ours really isn't either. It's just become that.
Right.
People have been accepting of that because it's just, it's easier to go on unemployment than get a job. And so those kind of things really, really take hold very quickly sometimes. So, it's there and it's just becoming more vocal for sure.
Yeah. One of the new rising stars in the Democrat House, a young lady who's 29 years old, the youngest member of the House this year, coming up, elected. Whenever they asked her, how are you going to pay for these programs? She just said, we'll just pay for them. She had absolutely no answer as to how are you going to pay for them. So it's going to be interesting because the Congress, the House, funds the government. The Senate deals more with the president and, his picks and his, interacting with him. But the House is the one that holds the purse strings to the government. So it's going to be really interesting next year.
Our government here has just legalized marijuana. I noticed that in some of the voting in the states. I'm not sure. I didn't catch all of it, but I did see that they did run some referendums, and there was a large percentage of people, in at least the referendum I saw, that were asking for the legalization of marijuana. That's going to be such a huge problem here in Canada.
Michigan legalized it for recreational purposes.
Did they? Okay.
It passed in Michigan, yeah.
Well, we've got that here, and already they've said that you're allowed to have 4 pot plants in your home for personal use. And they are so inundated with orders, they said there'll be a year backlog. I can't fathom that in our country there's that many people that want it. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And the beer companies are going to infuse beer. The Coca-Cola is talking about having a product infused with marijuana. And
yep.
Everybody's screaming
yep.
about the drug epidemic, but yet how in the world do people think that that's not going to be a problem or a part? I don't get it.
Yeah, I was very thankful that issue 1 failed here on the state level. Issue 1 would have basically taken away, it would have released about 30% of the people from prison immediately, and it would take away jail time for possession of a controlled substance. And basically, I think there were some felonies that it would just completely do away with. I mean,
yeah.
what a nightmare. How idiotic, those kind of things. I did not look to see yet whether in Florida it passed or failed that they were going to allow felons the opportunity to be able to vote. I think in every state, once you commit a felony, you lose your right to vote.
Well, let me tell you this. Our prime minister's gone one step further, and he has given a pardon to anybody who received a drug-related charge over the last number of years. They have been given a full pardon. So
wow.
any charges have been dropped, it'll not be on your record. And it comes from his dad, who got his brother's drug charges dropped because he was involved with marijuana when he was a kid. So he's just doing the same thing as his dad. And that's our federal leadership. And he's made a mock of some things. And I'm hearing unsaved people, very, worldly people saying they can't wait till he's out. And it's going to be another 2 years. And here's what's happened in Canada. This is how people vote here. They vote for change. And as I said, we have the political parties and you vote for the party. A prime minister here will last for 4, 8, 12 years, and they can run as many times as they want. They can be in office as many times for a 4-year term. So literally a guy could be prime minister here for 50 years if he keeps winning the votes. But most guys get in for about 8 years, and then on that next vote, they'll lose just because people say it's time to change. We've had enough of this. We need to change. And it'll go 4 or 8 years, and then they'll think, well, that didn't work, so we'll go back to what we had. That's how people vote here. And it's crazy, but that's how it is.
That's unbelievable. I looked up, and Florida did pass. It passed 64%. Approximately 1.4 million people now are going to be granted the right to vote in Florida. And wow. So whenever you look at those numbers, those Republican senator and Republican governor, they won by like 40,000 votes and 60,000 votes. Now add another 1.4 million people voting. Which party do you think they're going to vote for? A conservative party that believes in strong laws? Or do you think they're going to vote for a party that believes in a looser, less restrictive government?
Yeah, exactly. And here's, I don't know if you see this, but our generation came through the hippie movement of the 70s. And our generation is, and I can't believe it. I thought we had more sense of this, but a large part of this is not young people. It's not young people wanting this. It's people our generation who did drugs as a teenager and, you know, got in trouble or was told it's wrong. Now they're getting reinvolved in it. And I don't know. I just thought we had a more mature generation than that, but apparently not, because they're, I mean, that's a big part here in Canada anyways, who's getting involved in this stuff and thinking that, you know, well, now we can have some fun. And there's already been some serious problems. The edibles, they're talking about what they can put it in now, and our government's just opening the door to all kinds of problems. So
that's,
I don't know.
That's terrible. You on the local level, are you? So, you've been a pastor for a long time. You just stay completely out of things that go on in your community. Do you get involved? Do you meet people? You know, tell some of our folks some of the things you do.
Well, over the 30 years that I pastored, I've known every one of our members of parliament and provincial parliament as well. It's an MP member of parliament or MPP member of provincial parliament. I have met with those people. I've, you know, taken them to lunch. I have invited them to church. I've tried to establish a real friendship. And I have to say that our area is very conservative. We've had, in the 30 years that I've been pastor, I think 8 years of liberal leadership in both of those levels, both provincially and federally. Our member of parliament is a lady who has been to our church a number of times, just sent me a personal greeting for my 30th anniversary as pastor. She's friends with me on Facebook, and the member of provincial parliament, same thing. And so I can go into their office anytime and speak to them. They know my heart. They know what we're doing. And they appreciate the effort that I've put into our community. So I have a very open relationship with them. And I love that. And they're right here in our city of St. Thomas. They have a large area, but they're centered right here. So it's very accessible for me. And then in the pulpit, I don't try to get political, but I'll tell people, this is what the Bible says. And if our Amen. If our politicians aren't that, they're not right.
Well,
and I think that says a multitude.
I definitely
How about
will
you?
Be opinionated, although as involved as I am, I try not to really make it the same thing every Sunday morning. You know, I don't talk about these things very much. Now, on Wednesday nights, we have our prayer time, and we pray for people on our prayer sheet. State senator, 2 state representatives, and then somebody either in the national scene or, you know, maybe, you know, the governor or whatever, you know, statewide office, but, you know, generally a U.S. congressman from Ohio or something like that. So as we go through the prayer sheet, I'll mention, oh, yes, okay, this senator, they're a Democrat, they live in the Youngstown area, you know, let's pray for them. This representative, they're from the Hamilton area, they're very strong, very pro-life. You know, this person's a believer, you know, so I just sort of give a little background, you know, on people, and that's about as much as I do. I don't go into these things a lot, but we will we will have candidates come. We invite them to come. We invite office holders to come. They're all welcome to come, and we want to pray for them. And we want them to know that we want to be good and loyal citizens. Doesn't matter whether they have a D or an R after their name. I mean, we definitely want to pray for them and have a good relationship with them. Now, we're limited because Columbus, Ohio, is the 12th largest city in the United States. So I can't necessarily just walk into my mayor's office. You know, I mean, it's a large, you know, situation of trying to deal in that concept. So I sort of wish that we were in a smaller suburb so we would be able to know our councilmen and we would be able to know our mayors and police chiefs and those kind of things. So I do miss that with us being in the actual inside the city limits of Columbus. What do you do something like that with your local people?
Well, yeah, like I say, I can approach our mayor.
Amen.
I actually led our mayor to Jesus Christ. Amen. A number of years ago when he was a member of parliament. And he was very kind to introduce me to our prime minister years ago. And then these other folks are right there. I can see them anytime. I can walk into their office and they welcome me in. I'll tell you one thing I try to do and I'd encourage others is I write them and encourage them. I know they get bombarded with people that are upset all the time. And I say, hey, you're doing a great job. I'm praying for you today. You know, I'm thinking about you. And they love that. And this the one member of parliament, she has said, man, I value your prayers. And she said, would you just stop by my office and pray with me once in a while? I said, absolutely. So those kind of things. Yeah. Well, listen, our time has fleeted by, and it's been a great week talking about politics. I know it's probably not the most exciting or funniest topic, but it's current. We want to be current. And coming up next week, we're going to have an interview. And I'm excited about it. Our guest is going to be Brother Mike Holland, who's been our youth pastor at Bible Baptist Church for 25 years. He's been with me for 26 years. And we want to ask him about being a youth pastor, or being an associate pastor, being an associate pastor for a crazy man, myself. And you've heard me talk about him many, many times on this podcast, and I want to bring him in studio and talk with him and let him share with us some of his viewpoints from the other side of the pulpit as a staff member, and then working with young people.
Amen.
And you know Brother Mike as well. You've been friends with him and influencing him, a youth pastor for him. So kind of going full circle. So we're going to do that coming up next week. So be ready for that. I'm Brother Al Stone.
This is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. Please, now that we're back on the air, consistently and faithfully, give us a rating or a review.
Have a great day. This is Tim Talks.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.